Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Time to catch up for the first time in a few weeks after the little August break with El Pais in Madrid. And it's Melissa this morning. Welcome back, Melissa.
Thanks, Phil.
Nice to talk to you again. You've done the Spanish thing of having August off. It's very Spanish.
Yes. No, I've been lucky, really. So I worked remotely in July for Valencia, and in August, I went to Los Picos de Europa, which was
nice,
great.
Lovely. Unlike your partner in crime, Simon, who has gone to Essex for his holiday.
Yes, he's been complaining about the rainy weather and the cold mornings.
Dear, what does he expect? He's gone to Essex. Right, let's catch up on the coronavirus update. We haven't been talking about it for a month or so. How are we going with the vaccination drive? Who's yet to be vaccinated and how the cases are progressing? Are we still doing well in Spain, or have we slipped from our crown?
Well, actually, today is a big day because it marks the first time Spain has finally hit its target of fully vaccinating 70% of the population.
Okay.
So this was the goal that Pedro Sanchez had, earmarked back in April. Originally, the idea was that the whole population, 70% of the population, would be vaccinated by August 18th. So it's a little bit late, but still, it's still a really big deal, particularly when you consider, how the drive is progressing in other countries. So Spain has fully vaccinated a higher share of its population than Germany, Italy, France, the United States, even the UK, if you look at the Our World in Data website, which is run by the Oxford University.
Interesting.
It's really big news. And this is, there were concerns because, with the vaccine, as people went on summer vacations, the pace of the vaccination drive started to slow. And at one point, there were more doses than people available to give them to because so many people had already had their vaccinations. And then there was this other issue where under the vaccination strategy, if you had recently recovered from the coronavirus, you had to wait around 6 months before getting a shot. And the regions then decided to cut this back. So in some places, it's only 4 weeks. In some places, it's more like 2 months. But this helped kind of accelerate the drive. And in recent weeks, it sort of picked up more speed. And yes, so Spain has hit the target. This is 8 months after the vaccination campaign kicked off in December, so it's very good news. But it's not all good news because there are still around 5 million people who could get the vaccine. So we're talking about eligible recipients, not children under 12, for instance, for whom there is no vaccine approved yet. And the trick now is how to get to those people. So some regions are opening up vaccination centers where you don't need an appointment, where you can drop in wherever you like.
Yep.
In Gran Canaria, there's a bus that goes around villages and, you know, sort of pops up to see if anyone wants to get their shot. And, you know, the other concern is the Delta variant. So, you know, initially when this 70% goal was set, that seemed to be enough for herd immunity, but now there are doubts about whether that will be enough. But another interesting, you know, point that was made in the story that we published today about this, you know, this milestone, was that they link the high vaccination coverage in Spain to the Franco dictatorship. So during the dictatorship, polio continued to affect a lot of children, you know, even though it had been eradicated in other parts. And that, you know, there's this idea that this problem kind of lingered on in the minds of the population and sort of instilled this idea of, you know, the importance of healthcare and vaccination.
How interesting. Although that was interesting even more when you consider that there was an initial great hesitancy on the uptake in Spain. Yeah.
Yes. No, I mean, we did an interview, you know, just before the vaccination campaign was starting with someone who had done a poll, which suggested that something like 30% of people were hesitant to get the vaccine. But I, you know, imagine as it progressed and, you know, more people, you know, got the vaccine, it became, you know, more accepted. And here we are with the 70% fully vaccinated. I got my shot yesterday, so I fit my second shot. So I feel like I've tipped the numbers in favor.
Unless, of course, those 30% that you mentioned are still hesitant, and that makes the number up. 70 plus 30, 100%. Bob's your uncle. There you go.
Yes.
Any noises being made, Melissa, about booster shots in Spain? Because that's something they're talking about beginning in September in the United Kingdom. So they've just managed to get their 70% and they're starting all over again.
Yes, there is a bit of discussion sort of brewing about what Spain wants to do with respect to that. A lot of experts say it would be good for people who have you know, vulnerable immune systems. Mm-hmm. But then there are others who say that should also be extended to the elderly. In the meantime, Spain is waiting for a decision from Europe to kind of follow their lead.
Right.
But it will be interesting to see, you know, to see what happens. It does seem like they would be leaning towards booster shots for these, you know, specific collectives. So for people who cancer patients, or who recently received a transplant, who have, you know, more vulnerable immune systems, but that's yet to be decided.
Okay, fair enough. And obviously the story of the week around the whole world has been the plight of the Afghan refugees. And you mentioned in El País the story as regards Spain. We've heard a lot about what the UK's response has been, but what did Spain do? How was that carried out? And what's next in store for the arrivals?
Yes, no, this, you know, as you said, has been the story of the week, if not, you know, the month, and it's really sort of captured the world's attention. So in Spain, things you know, kicked off quite soon. You know, when the signs, you know, that Taliban were, you know, increasingly seizing territory, they started to plan a mission to rescue the Afghans who had worked with Spain, also those who had worked with the European Union and with other NGOs. They also had on their list people who would be potentially subject to more persecution for their, you know, for being more outspoken politically or for, you know, other particular positions.
Yeah.
And so this was done. They sent out three military planes, mm-hmm. and they've been you know, rescuing, extracting people from Afghanistan and taking them to the air base in Madrid.
Right.
But it has been a very sort of harrowing, you know, experience. You know, the El País did an interview with one of the captains who was a part of this program, and he, you know, described seeing people being crushed to death, having to tell people to sort of the evacuees to jump into canals in order to reach the planes. And for him, you know, what has been saddest is the fact that so many people have been left behind. Yeah. You know, Spain did acknowledge that, you know, it can't get everyone out. So they had a team of around 17 police officers on the ground trying to contact these people. And WhatsApp, funnily enough, was quite a good tool. So this captain's fix about getting various messages from different people, trying to locate where the, you know, Afghans were in order to rescue them. Mm. But, you know, a lot have been left behind. But there was a kind of a nice turn to the story. Many of the refugees are at La Rota, the naval base in Cadiz,
yep.
And they would then be taken to the U.S. And the community in a small town in that province has really, like, come together, and they've, you know, pulled together donations, toys for the children, and really and inundated it. Started as, like, a small initiative. But then people from Sevilla, from Zaragoza, wanted to participate. So La Rota Naval Base was inundated with donations from Spaniards who wanted to help these refugees.
So a lot are being transferred then to the United States from there.
Yes. So some, in that case, those who go to La Rota will be transferred to the U.S. Others will, those who worked with the EU will be taken to different states.
Mm-hmm.
And then so Spain has received around 1,900 refugees.
Right.
I know that some will stay in different regions, but it is, you know, a long haul for them. So the process of applying for, you know, the refugee status can take around 6 months. And in the meantime, they are sort of in this holding pattern.
Right. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that it all works as successfully as it possibly can in these horrific circumstances. There couldn't be a more different story now to finish off with. In Spain, there are about, unbelievably, 450 nudist beaches, as well as various public swimming pools and stretches of marshland or riverbanks are specific to the practice, according to the Spanish Federation of Naturism. But nudists are being pushed out of Spain's beaches, hopefully not literally. What is this all about, Melissa?
Yes, well, this has become a problem. So Spain has had this reputation as being very welcoming to nudists. So although there are 450 nudist beaches, it's actually not illegal to go nude on any beach, although there are some areas where they've put in orders. But generally speaking, if you want to be nude in any public beach, that is your right. But this is changing because of, well, there's a few reasons. So I think one of the main reasons they discuss in this article is, you know, the fact of everyone now has a cell phone. So people who are perhaps more body conscious, you know, there's that concern that someone could take your photo, it could end up online. There are, you know, websites which have specific sections for photos, you know, taken illegally at the beach.
Yep.
So that's, you know, that's one big concern. The other idea is that people have become sort of more body conscious in the age of social media and Instagram, and that, you know, they prefer to sort of be seen in, like, the most fashionable swimsuit than naked. And another interesting point was that these areas, you know, small coves and beaches which have been, you know, nudist, for nudists, have become subject to more tourists. So tourists come not knowing that these beaches are specifically for nudists, and they're dressed, and that makes people feel uncomfortable. So this has kind of changed the environment and made people less, you know, more reluctant, I suppose, to go nude. Another point that was made, that was when this, you know, this kind of surge of nudism and going topless came up in the 1980s, it was more was seen as like a way for women, for instance, to assert themselves and, you know, be masters of their bodies. And now that connection has been lost somewhat. It's not considered in the same way as a statement of empowerment as it once was.
One of the things discussed in your article, and I can see that this would be an issue, is that some beach bars, which are kind of encroaching almost up to the edges of what is a nudist beach, are basically saying, well, if you want to come to our beach bar, then you need to put some clothes on. You can't just wander in.
So this has caused conflicts, some say. As you said, you can sort of see, you know, as an owner of a beach bar, perhaps, that, you know, could be an issue. But there are other beach bars which have welcomed it, and they have specific areas for people to go nude. But, you know, there was another anecdote in that article which mentioned sort of the flip side, that in some cases people go to these nudist churches dressed and people start clapping to make them feel uncomfortable and leave or take off their clothes.
That's right.
So there are, you know, different levels, and the article goes into different places where it is accepted. So some meat bars say no nude diners, no nudists on the sun lounges, while others are a bit more accepting. But the trend does seem to be away from nudism.
There are so many traps I could fall into if we discuss this any further, and I'm not going there. Well, there's much more on the article. If you find El País, you'll find that there, as well as all the other great stories of the week. Lovely to have you back, Melissa. We'll speak to yourself or Simon same time next week. All the best to you.
Thanks, Bill.
Cheers.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.